All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the DFO Rundown Podcast with Frank Saravalli and Jason Greger on dailyfaceoff.com.
Welcome to episode 286 of the DFO Rundown. I'm Jason Greger alongside Frank Saravalli. As always, it's brought to you by Betano.ca, where you can get in the game. Lots of nationally televised games this week. Lots of teams playing four games, so there'll be a heavy slate, of course. The Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays has become the main games in the National Hockey League. And, hey, we've got some playoff races, specifically in the Eastern Conference, Frank. How about this one? On March 18th, the Washington freaking Capitals, if they can win tonight in Calgary, will be the second wildcard team.
It defies logic and understanding, but the Detroit Red Wings have made this an absolute pillow fight. You know what? I take that back. It's not a pillow fight. It's a disgrace to pillow fights, because at least pillow fights can be entertaining. This feels like, oh, last spot in the playoffs. You want it? Nah, I'm good. Do you want it? Nah, I'm all right. Am I missing something here? What's going on? Why is it that the Caps, who trade pieces away, are grinding on points percentage wise? It's actually the New York Islanders who are in the second wild card spot today, if that's your thing. Whatever way you want to slice it, will someone please step up and grab it? Does anyone want this last spot?
Now, Frank, to be accurate, the Capitals actually do have a higher points percentage today than the Islanders. They're at 5.53.
Oh, Islanders, you're right.
5.45. So,
yeah. I was just looking at the Islanders and Red Wings.
Yeah, no, the Islanders, Hey, the Penguins keep their slim playoff hopes alive by getting a big victory yesterday over said Detroit Red Wings. You know, the Sabres, man, they had a chance. They were on fire, and then they go and they can't beat Detroit on Saturday. So I'll say this. Well, it's not like all teams are playing great, but it is entertaining, because honestly, if you could look at the odds,
you find
right
this
now,
entertaining.
Well, it's entertaining in the sense that it might be a slow race, but there's no one running away with it.
I'm sorry, it's embarrassing. And by the way, who would have thought, if you rewind to a month ago, that the team that would be in 13th place in the East, behind all those teams, the Sabres, Penguins, Islanders, Caps, and Wings, is the New Jersey Devils.
Oh, yeah. Wow. They've, you know, injuries, obviously Dougie Hamilton plays a factor. I think their team defense, their goaltending, like yesterday, actually goaltending kept that game a lot closer than it was against Vegas. Jake Allen kept it much closer. They were getting murdered in that game, but they're defensive team. They're not that good right now. You watch them play, they give up way too much.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about the Devils a lot this year, so I'll refrain from beating the dead horse, but they continue to make the same mistakes time and time again. So if you were to place a wager today, and perhaps Tyler could slide in with some Eastern Conference playoff odds, but odds notwithstanding, if you were to pick a favorite to get in for that eighth spot, who would it be? And then here's a yes or no question. Do the Flyers get in as well?
Well, it's probably Detroit just based on, you know, their remaining schedule, right? Like they have the easier schedule for sure. Washington, this is going to, after their game against Calgary, the Capitals play four straight games against top 10 teams, right? So that's going to be a real big test for them. They got Toronto, Carolina, Winnipeg, three, and then Detroit, and then Toronto and Boston. So five of their last six. So if the Capitals get in, Frank, no one can say they didn't earn it, because five of their next seven games are against top 10 teams. And then they play Detroit, a team who's battling in a playoff spot. So I think that's a really tough schedule for them. Philly though is in the midst of a tough sked too. Toronto, Carolina, Boston, Florida, and the Rangers, their next five. So I don't think you could lock them in anyway. I think honestly, by the time we get here next week on the 24th, we'll have a much better sense of where they're at. Like, this is a tough week for Philly. A really difficult week when you look at their schedule.
Is there a team that you're rooting for? Like, does Washington. One team? Why? For me, it's the Sabres.
Yeah, well, I like the Sabres too. I just think they're too far back. But Washington, because no one expected them to be here. I think they're ahead. You know, Carberry should get. Like Rick Tocchet, we think is kind of the runaway winner. I'll say this: if the Caps get and actually make the playoffs, it's going to get some consideration. I don't think it'd be enough to win, but my goodness, when you consider they lost,
shouldn't John Tortorella be in line ahead of Spencer Carberry? If we were to compare these two teams from the beginning of the season, which team is better? You would say on paper, clearly the Caps are a better team.
Yeah, but then they lost all their guys to injury. Backstrom, seven games done. Kuznetsov was in rehab. You look at the other key injuries they've had. Like I look at Washington.
But the Flyers never even had that to begin with.
Yeah. Well, they
didn't have a John Carlson on their back end. They didn't have, I know he's played below expectations. They didn't have an Ovechkin or a Kuznetsov in their lineup at any point this season.
Yeah. He'd be in there for sure. Like those two will probably be 2-3 after Tocchet, I would think. Right.
I mean, where would you rank Chris Knobloch?
Well, it's funny. You're right. That when you consider that since he took over, the Oilers have a 740 points percentage, which is best in the NHL by a significant margin. Right? Like there's only
Get consideration?
Yeah, he probably should. Now that you mention it, he probably should. And maybe, and I'll say this, if the Oilers catch the Canucks, Frank, then you're right. He probably should be ahead of Tocchet. How could he not be?
Will the Oilers catch the Canucks?
Well, look at their schedule. They have three games in hand. They're 8 points back. I've said it all along. They make up their games in hand in April. They do have one head-to-head matchup in April against the Canucks on Saturday night on the 13th. I think Edmonton has to be within 3 or 4 points at the end of the month. And if they are, then they got a legit shot, right? Because you'll have two games in hand. They both play Arizona twice. They both play, I think, Edmonton plays Colorado twice. Vancouver will play Vegas twice. They play each other once. I think one plays Winnipeg, one plays Dallas. So their schedule is actually pretty close after that. And really, it all comes down to Demko to me. How long is this injury? Because the longer he's out, Frank, I think the door creeps open a little bit. Like, I can't believe that Vancouver lost to Washington, who was playing their fourth game in six nights. I thought that, and that's why I'm not a bettor and I didn't bet. But in my head, I was like, oh, that's a game they should win for sure. And it's not like they played horrible, but they lost 2-1.
I'm with you. I'm I'm less fascinated about that race than I am the fringe of the West playoffs. Can Vegas hold on? They're holding on for dear life right now by their fingertips.
Yeah, I think they will. Just because you look at, now they do have Tampa Bay on the road here. Tampa Bay and Seattle at home. Minnesota is coming and they're playing very well. Marc-Andre Fleury, oh my goodness, that guy's been absolutely on fire, right? Yeah. Like St. Louis, they beat Anaheim, they had to, but they got St. Louis actually has probably the easiest schedule of those teams because they only have, I think, up until their final 2-3 games, they play a lot of bottom 10 teams. Ottawa, they'll play San Jose, Anaheim, San Jose, Chicago. So that kind of benefits the Blues, but like they're still, what are they? They have to, they need to hope that somehow Vegas loses to Tampa and that the Blues can somehow beat Colorado and then maybe, but I still think the odds are pretty low. Like I think like if you look at remaining schedule and everything else, like I bet you their odds of making the playoffs are probably only like 10, 15%.
Mostly because no one really, like, I don't think the Blues or Wild are really scaring anyone.
No. And, Vegas does have a game in hand and they're 4 and 5 points up on both those teams. So I still think Vegas will figure it out.
Me too.
They haven't played great though since December 1st, Frank. 26th in the NHL since December 1st. Like that's a pretty long stretch here. We're coming up on 4 months.
It's not just the injuries. It's also listening to what Bruce Cassidy is saying. He was talking about winning battles, being careless with the puck, proper positioning, like all things that you can control that they're just not. And that part to me is pretty concerning, but man, I mean, like, let's just play it out hypothetically and say that the Golden Knights figure it out and they stay in the eighth spot. Do you really want to win the West? Do you want the number one seed to get the Golden Knights in round one?
Or you're getting the red hot Nashville Predators. They're absolutely on fire.
They got to cool off between, they're 12-0-2, right? They got to cool off between now and the playoffs, right? Like we still have, it's basically a month from today is opening night in the playoffs.
Yeah. So
you would think, right, after a 12-0-2 run that they come back to earth, do they not?
You'd think they'd come down, but man, lots of teams just running out. Like they're heating up at the right time. They're getting great goaltending. They're getting balanced scoring. Roman Josi's putting himself in the Norris Trophy race here down the stretch. You kidding me? Like he is on fire for the Predators. So I don't think it'll be enough to beat out Hughes, but I think he's put himself in the conversation. And the Preds, I give him a lot of credit, man. Like they have, they're not only winning, like they're dominating. And the Preds are another team, Frank, that doesn't have, like they play Florida once and Colorado and Boston and Winnipeg, but they got a lot of games, San Jose, Arizona, New Jersey, Chicago, Columbus, Pittsburgh. Like those are all bottom 10 teams as far as points percentage wise. So they still got a pretty good chance here to finish really strong. As for your question about who's going to finish first in the West, like it's a dogfight, right? Vancouver has 92 points, but their goalie's hurt. The Jets have a better points percentage right now because they got one game in hand and they're a point back. And so are the Avs and so are Dallas. Like four teams within 1 point. That's a great race for not only first in the West, but like first in the Central is massive, I think, to me. Like
I agree.
And so I don't know if any of these teams will be resting at all down the stretch.
So if you were to do a Western Conference power rankings, give me your top six teams in order. What would it look like? Like is Colorado not the team to beat?
That's tough. Yeah. Colorado's quite good. Winnipeg, Edmonton's been the best team in the league for 5 months. They're good.
But they were, I know that game against the Oilers was really entertaining and the McKinnon play that he makes kicking the puck up to his stick with 3 seconds left is just, it's sublime. But as entertaining as the game was, it still felt like the Oilers were pretty much outclassed when you look at a lot of the numbers and that they were bailed out by Skinner.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Skinner played very well. There's no question. I don't think Edmonton had their best game. I will say, the one stat that doesn't show up, Frank, was how many times the Oilers decided to
oh, we have an odd man rush. Oh, let's try to force a pass through. They had, I counted, five different really good chances that did not even result in a shot on goal because they tried to force passes. If there's one element of...
If it doesn't result in a shot on goal, then it's not a chance.
Well, it is a great chance when you have a guy in a perfect... You're in the slot, and rather than shoot, you all, that's what I mean. Like, they screwed themselves out of really good chances by electing to force a pass, which was a little odd to me. But yeah, Colorado is a team that, you know, Edmonton's lucky they don't have to face until the third round, right?
Give me your six in order.
I would go then Colorado, Edmonton, Winnipeg.
Sleeping on Dallas.
Yeah. Dallas, Vancouver, and then... Yeah, probably still. Well, I can't go Vegas yet because they've been we can call them paper champions, but on ice they're not. So I'd put Nashville six.
Wow. Nashville six. Okay. So yeah. You like Nashville ahead of the Kings?
Yeah, today, right? Like at the end in a month, because I've looked back a lot. Like you look at the last month of the regular season each year and see, okay, how teams are going. I think it's fair to say, I don't think Nashville is going to go 12-0-2 in their next 14 games. That's probably a fair statement. Do I think eventually Vegas should figure it out? Yeah. But when it's been 3.5 months, you wonder at what point are they going to figure it out?
That's a fair question to ask. I would still have them in the six. So my order would be something like Colorado 1, Dallas 2, Edmonton 3, Winnipeg 4, Vancouver 5, Vegas 6. If we're talking about power rankings to win the Stanley Cup, like I don't view the Kings or the Preds as authentic threats to win.
Okay.
Fair.
Yeah. Here's the thing that I would say that's concerning about the Dallas Stars.
Okay.
Is if you look at teams who win, their goals against is above 3. No team has won the Stanley Cup with the regular season goals against average above 3 in the last 10 years. And Dallas, funny enough, because when we think, oh, geez, good defensive team, but their goaltending neither has a save percentage over 9.
Jake Ottinger has been very average this year.
Yeah. So that's my one concern about the Stars. And when you look at the history of goals against...
Wedgwood is above 900, by the way.
Is he above 9 now? Because he wasn't last week, so he must have had a good week. But yeah, team...
He beat the Kings and stopped 27 of 28 to move to 9. Okay,
so that put him over. But like, and their goals against average is still above 3 as a team. Like that's the concern for the Dallas Stars.
But I just think here's the reason why I picked Dallas to win and why I'm not wavering from that. Were their power rankings right now, but I think when it comes to playing and actually making it through in a different style of hockey, I think their game translates really well. That's my thought process. Not to say Colorado's doesn't. Obviously, they've done it before. They know they can. But Dallas has this unique something. Like, could you imagine though, if we have Winnipeg that wins the West and or wins the Central, and then we've got Dallas and Colorado going head to head in round one? I mean, just take me out West and plant me in those two cities.
Yeah. Like you the thing about the Jets are like, they are such a tough out because they're so good defensively. Right. And this is where, Frank, matchups I think matter. So Winnipeg this season is 2-0 against Colorado, and they've outscored them 10-4 in those two games. Dallas, meanwhile, is 3-0 against Winnipeg and has outscored them 9-3. Right? Like, they're the one team. That's, to me, the one concern I have with the Jets is, can they score enough when it matters? Right? They've been the best defensive team from start to finish. I don't think there's much debate about that. But can they score enough to win? That's going to be the question, right? Because you look at the, can you really slow down the Avs all year, right? The Avs, by the way, are 3-0 against Dallas. Now one game is in overtime. They've outscored them 16-8. So it's funny. Like, you look at matchups, Winnipeg has Colorado's number, Colorado has Dallas's number, and Dallas has Winnipeg's number. So who are you going to match up with that?
That feels really like a triangle of death.
Yeah. So that's why first matters so much. And you look at it, a lot of it could come down to just who's a better or worse matchup for certain teams. Because the Hellebuck factor, like, there's no question Winnipeg has the best goaltending in that division going between those three teams. Like, it's not even close right now.
Yeah, you're right. That's part of the issue, right?
Yeah.
That's why it makes me wonder, have I ranked Winnipeg too low?
Yeah. Well, their offense is that's why I had them three. Their offense is, when I'm ranking like 1, 2, 3, like, my God, it's the slimmest of margins. I want to tell people.
That's why it's a fun exercise, right?
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't sit there and be comfortable like, oh, I got Colorado 1. That means they're like a massive favorite. No, not at all. Right. You got to rank somebody. So I would go with them right now. Nathan MacKinnon is dominating. That's a big advantage for that team.
I will say, though, the one part about Winnipeg's game that I feel so much better about, and it's not just the Toffoli addition, but it's mostly Monahan. Since the day they made the trade for Sean Monahan, the Jets are third in power play at 31%.
Yeah.
They were 24th before the trade. That's a huge difference maker. When you can't win in the playoffs if you have your power play go cold, but either one of your special teams.
Frank, thank you, because nothing makes me want to upchuck more than when I hear people, oh, power play doesn't matter in the playoffs. I'm like, are you guys delusional? Do you even watch? Like, go back and look at the Stanley Cup final in 2022, Colorado-Tampa. Tampa outscored Colorado 5-on-5. The difference was in the power play. Colorado scored 6 goals, didn't give up a shorty. Tampa Bay only scored 2 and gave up a shorty. That was the difference in the series. Right, Tampa Bay was just as good, if not better. Like, Cale Makar got outscored 9-4, 5-on-5 in the Cup final. Taves outscored 8-4. MacKinnon outscored 7-5. But they won because their power play was lethal. So don't ever tell me. And go back to Florida, Vegas last year. Florida didn't score on the power play in the Cup final, and Vegas scored 6 times. Big difference.
Yeah. It always does. Special teams are such a critical difference maker when it comes to the postseason.
Yeah. And that's a great point by you on the Jets, that you get your power play going, because they're not a dominant offensive team 5-on-5, but you get their power. And you're normally, if your power play gets going, Frank, now your offensive guys feel a little bit better because, you know, they're getting their cookies and now they can produce a little bit more 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. Goes hand in hand.
Does the tweet of the weekend go to the San Jose Sharks?
I didn't
they
see
beat,
it.
They beat the Blackhawks beat the Sharks in the Macklin Celebrini Bowl 5-2. Yeah. And they tweeted out the box score and it says, well, we're sorry or you're welcome, followed by a shrug emoji. I mean, it depends on which way you look at it, because now the Sharks are in the driver's seat on the lottery odds on dailyfaceoff.com. Their points percentage, they've opened up a pretty decent gap. They're at 291 and the Blackhawks are at 316. 291.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. Well, you look at it and then, but their odds really. So
it's a huge difference in odds. It goes from 25.5% down to 13.5.
Yeah, it doubles. So.
That's a big, big difference.
But you still have a 75% chance of losing the lottery.
Correct. But I'd still want an extra 12%.
Yeah. Oh, no. 100%. You want it. Could you imagine, though, if the Blackhawks won it again? Which, would we be stunned? Not really.
No. I mean, they'd be the first team since the rule change to win it twice in a 5-year span. Obviously, back to back, it would prevent them from winning again for 5 years, which you would think would hasten their rebuild. No real incentive to be poor anymore.
Well, I still think there is, because if you look at it, there's lots of guys who went second. Like, we just talked about Cale Makar. Like, yeah, think about it. Colorado lost the draft lottery, Frank.
They were pissed.
Yeah, and it allowed them to get Cale Makar, because they wouldn't have taken him first overall.
Yep. Amazing.
Yeah, like it.
Let me, I was thinking about this, about the draft lottery, though, and this is something that isn't really talked about that often. So going back to the Erik Karlsson trade from last summer,
Yeah.
The Penguins traded their first round pick to San Jose.
Lottery, top 10 protected.
It's top 10 protected. But do you think they were like, obviously they regret the trade, but do you think they regret handling the pick? Because on the one hand you say, well, man, I guess we're glad that we top 10 protected it. Right now we're 10th and we have a 3.5% chance. What happens if that 3.5% chance wins Macklin Celebrini? Oh man, that'd be amazing. My issue is, what happens if you don't? What happens if you finish 10th and you pick 10th? So the pick goes to San Jose, but the following year then, for 2025, their pick then belongs to San Jose and it's unprotected. They could be worse next. They should be theoretically worse next season. They may not be. They could be like the Caps, a team that inexplicably was in the low 80s in points last year and is probably going to be in the low 90s this year, despite a worse roster on paper. Crazy things happen, but how, if you were sitting in the Penguins front office today, would you be glad that you top 10 protected the pick? Or would your stomach be turning thinking about the possibility that San Jose gets an even better one? Or what happens if that pick wins the lottery next year?
Well, doesn't Pittsburgh, though, still have the option? Let's say, Frank, they finish 10th. They don't have the option to say San Jose can have it?
Nope. It's. I don't think so. I have to double check right now, but I'm pretty sure that there's no optionality here. It's not their choice. That it is... It's only top 10 protected, is my understanding.
Well, yeah, if you're 10th, that's not ideal for sure. But currently they're on points percentage. They're 11th right now. So we'll see. It's funny. You know, they're still technically close.
But that's even worse. I know. So then it's 11th. You pick 11th or you have a 3% shot.
Well, no. If it's 11th, they don't get it, right? Because it's only top 10.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Then you pick 11th, which is not great. And your pick then it will belong to San Jose. You're right.
Yes. 11th is
San Jose would have the 11th pick. Yeah. And then you'd still, so that'd be the best case scenario for the Penguins is they win a couple games down the stretch.
Yeah. And they're 11th.
There's probably some real incentive then for Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah, I would think so. Yeah. They're going to, obviously they want to win as much as they can to have that pick 12th, 13th, 14th or something. So
I think it's one of those things you lottery protected and you're like, oh, we're not even going to have to think about this.
Yeah. See,
we're trading for Erik Karlsson. This isn't even a concern. We missed the playoffs by 1 point last year. We just added 100-point defenseman. We are in, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Well, it kind of illustrates how their season has gone in Pittsburgh. Not that good. So, and that's why, you know, there's another angle why the Eastern Conference playoff race. Well, it's not necessarily a barn burn as far as teams running away with it and playing great hockey. There's a lot of teams in it and they're playing each other a fair amount here in the final month of the season, which makes it even a little bit more entertaining to watch. I'm not saying it's going to be great hockey by any stretch of the imagination, but it'll be, it should be interesting. Between Buffalo, like, do they really have odds? No. Washington and Detroit and Philly are still, like, Tampa Bay's in my eyes, like, they're making it. And Philly has the best odds too. But I just want to say this to Flyer fans this week, right? Because they play Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and then next Tuesday, 5 games in a row. And they play Toronto, Carolina, Boston, Florida, and the Rangers. Like, we'll see if they're a playoff team, Frank. They'll find a way to win at least 2, probably 3 of those games. Otherwise, they could be in big trouble.
Agreed.
Let's bring in Tyler Yaremchuk to the program. Fresh off of his big announcement, he got engaged over the weekend. Congratulations. But I will say this, Ty. As a big fan of Seinfeld, I every time I see someone get engaged, I always think of the electric scene between Kramer and Jerry when Jerry tells Kramer, you know, that him and George are just, they're not men, they're boys, and there's more to life. And Kramer's like, there isn't. What are you thinking, Tyler? Marriage? family, they're prisons. They're man-made prisons. You're doing time. When you wake up, she's there. When you go to bed, she's there. It's almost like you have to ask for permission to use the bathroom. Hey, can I use the bathroom? And the best is you can forget about watching TV when you're eating dinner. Why is that? You talk about your day. How was your day today? Was it a good day today or a bad day today? How day was it? It's a sad state of affairs, Tyler. But congratulations in all sincerity. That is still the greatest Seinfeld scene of all time.
Oh, that is good. Yeah, it was a fun weekend. We celebrated a lot. Did it on Friday evening, so we kind of had all weekend to go about it. But I need to bring up the fact that you're the one who almost blew the surprise, Gregor.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, actually.
So, I need to hear this. I didn't know this.
So my friends at Charm Diamonds helped me out with this whole thing. So on Wednesday, I went to go pick up the ring from them at their West Edmonton Mall location. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. I lied to Amber, told her why I was leaving the house on a Wednesday. I usually work from home. And I was like, I can do my sports 1440 hit in person. This lines up. Gregor going to throw to break before my segment goes, like in studio guest Tyler Rumchuk. Wonder why he's in the mall. Maybe he's finally doing that jewelry shopping. And I was like, oh. And then immediately, I have an uncle who listens to Gregor every day.
He texts me. He goes to break. He's like, I'm actually here to get the ring. And I was like, oh, geez. Well, clearly I knew. So, but it was funny. But she didn't, obviously, she's not listening to the show. So that's good news.
Yeah, it was all good. But yeah, it was a fun weekend. And shout out to Charm Diamonds. They did a great job. She loves her ring. So yeah.
There was some great imagery too in your the shots that were captured, the scenics. There was a, you guys were, I guess, what, overlooking the Edmonton River Valley?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, some nice imagery there, right near the edge of the cliff, taking the plunge, way to go.
that is good too. But yeah, it was fun, you know, telling, she had no idea. She thought I had this whole lie concocted. Our CEO, Jay Downton, was in on it. I was going to a work gala that night. And like, there was this whole lie. So she was totally caught off guard, which was another fun part of it, was doing all the behind the scenes planning. And I didn't sleep for a few days before, but now I'm sleeping like a baby. It's all good. All right.
Nice.
We Congrats. Can. Yeah. Thank you.
Better be sleeping better than that.
Let's get into buy or sell. As always, it is delivered by our friends over at DoorDash. 25% off, zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. Now, okay, this first one is a little bit weird because, I mean, the Capitals are right there on the playoff verge this year. The Penguins aren't done at all, but just kind of comparing them as you do in the Ovi Crosby eras, buy or sell on one of the Capitals or Penguins being a better playoff shot next season. We're looking ahead a full calendar year. Which one do you think actually has the brighter future between the two, Gregor?
Ooh, that's a good question. God. Like, whichever one's brighter, it's still pretty cloudy. Yeah. So, guys, I don't know. I still probably think the Penguins. Because Sid's playing really well. Like, yeah, I'll probably still go with the Penguins.
Hmm. Frank?
I mean, that's your first inclination, right? Is to lean toward the Penguins. Outside of Sid, I don't see very many redeeming qualities. Like, I don't. Like, Malkin has really struggled. Rust, it feels like, is frequently injured, even though that may or may not be a fair thing to say. Not a huge believer in Ricard Raquel. I'd be surprised if Riley Smith is still on the team next season. Jeff Carter probably retires. Lars Eller, Noel Achari, all those guys that they brought in were all just filler. And then you look on the back end, it's like, okay, does Carlson have a renaissance season? Does Chris Letang stop throwing pizzas up the middle of the ice? I'm trying to find, you're right, like it's incredibly cloudy. And the problem is, on the Washington side, like, who's going to step up to vault them into the next sort of phase of where they're heading? I really wonder about that Tom Wilson extension. Even though it's not incredibly crippling at 6'5", the fact that it starts in his age 30 season is certainly concerning to me, and it's a 7-year deal. If you're picking Washington, which I think I'm probably leaning towards, you're going to need pretty big jumps from Marashnichenko, McMichael, Hendricks, LaPierre. I mean, then go to the back end. Sandin needs to take a huge step forward with the extension that he signed. And you're hoping that Dylan Strome and Ovi and the rest of these guys can put it all together. A really long-winded way of saying, I think it's a coin flip. But right now, outside of Sid, I think I'm leaning toward the Caps.
Yeah, you know what? And you bring up the one thing that it probably gets overlooked. You know who's become a really good defender is Martin Fairview, the second round pick of the Caps a few years ago. Like Washington at least has some young guys that you just outlined. So they have the potential, like Pittsburgh, who's coming in Pittsburgh, right? So that's the one advantage the Capitals do have, right? We named five young guys, like Martin Fairview was a second rounder in 2018, right? McMichael, LaPierre, even Alexei Protas, like they're pretty high on him. He's a huge man, right? Shinchenko. I think they definitely have better prospect pool, which means they could have maybe two of those guys take a step next year. That gives them an advantage.
I mean, does Ryan Leonard step into the NHL next season? Like eighth overall pick from this past season. Like he's probably pretty close. He's well north of a point per game and 26 goals in 35 games for BC. Like Leonard, I mean, that's how I work my way to the Caps is like which team has the brighter future right now. At least the Caps have begun stockpiling because it seems like they were able to turn over more quickly and realize the spot that they were in, whereas Pittsburgh kept trying to double and triple down. But I understand why they did, because they got three cups out of it and they're thinking with the same core as the pillars of this, maybe we can. It's just Washington was much more realistic.
I still think the Penguins this offseason, they're going to try to upgrade, whereas Washington, I think, will slow play and be like, hey, we're just keeping developing with our young guys. And that's why the Pens might have one more year in them. But I think the long-term future better right now, that the Capitals are going to have less long-term pain than Pittsburgh.
I cannot say this strongly enough. It is absolute lunacy if the Pittsburgh Penguins go for one more year of this. They have not won a playoff round since 2018.
Yeah.
You just talked about Fairvary, 2018 second round pick. He's already 24 years old.
Yeah.
We don't even consider him a prospect anymore.
Good player.
I wouldn't consider the Penguins, after back-to-back Stanley Cup playoff misses and no playoff round wins since 2018, a prospect to win anymore.
Yeah, that's fair. Next one I got for you guys. Hey, I suppose Washington could be your answer to this one as well. But when you look at the teams in the thick of the wild card races, Tampa, Detroit, Washington, the Islanders, and then out west, you have Nashville and Vegas kind of locked in as wild card teams. If you had to buy stock on one of the wild card teams to win a playoff round, be this year's Florida Panthers, which wild card team would you buy stock on, Frank?
The Lightning.
Think they can flip the switch?
I mean, look, when you have a group of players as talented as they are, Kucherov, Hedman, Vasilevsky, Point, I mean, Stamkos, like they have to have the best shot. And so if you're playing it out right now, it would be Lightning, Rangers, and depending on the day or by points percentage, it's Lightning, Bruins. Do I think the Lightning can beat the Bruins in a 7-game series? Yes, I do. I would shade that series something at like 55 Boston, 45 Tampa. Am I crazy?
No. I'm with you.
Tampa, I don't want to pick the same team, so I'm going to go with the Nashville Predators, because they got UC Saros, elite goalie, Roman Josi's elite defender, and their team is playing incredibly well right now. And are they going to be Cinderella and go all the way to the and win a cup? No, because that doesn't happen. Cinderella, they never win. They get close, they never do it. But could I see the Preds, especially depending on who they get as a matchup, right? If they all of a sudden get Vancouver, I don't mind that matchup for Nashville. Even if they get Winnipeg, right? Like they can look and say Nashville would have the best goalie in their division after Hellebuck and could match up against them. So I would probably buy the Preds at this point.
And a third one I got for you, we'll go to the Atlantic Division where it, you know, it seems locked in. The Leafs will be the three seed, but there's some coin flipping going on, like you mentioned, Frank, between Boston and Florida. If you were the Leafs and you could buy a first round matchup against either Boston or Florida, which one's the better matchup for you, Gregor? Buy on Florida or Boston for Toronto?
Oh, I think it's Boston. And I know that some Maple Leaf fans might be like, what? Well, I just think Florida's murder, man. Like They got good goaltending. I like their defense. I like they're like Barkov and Tkachuk and those guys that really run rampant over Toronto. I think Boston. I know. You know, you look at Boston. They brought in Patrick Maroon. They still want to get bigger and heavier, and that's something that you know will give Toronto trouble for sure. But I look at Toronto and I think if I had to pick who they'd have a better chance, I would have to pick Boston over Florida.
It's not even close for me. I don't have Boston in my inner circle of teams that are an authentic chance to win. I'd go as far to say, and not to knock the accomplishment that they've had this season, I think they're a paper tiger.
Really? What is it about you don't like them?
I'm always a huge believer when it comes to the postseason of winning with strength down the middle. And that's been their one thing that they've been able to sort of avoid all season long is that tag. We've talked about it and they've had success in spite of it. But the other big strength of their team is goaltending by tandem. And unless they're willing to rotate, I don't know that either one of those guys, do you think would you be confident? No, I mean, obviously compared to other teams, certainly. But that to me is the real strength of the Bruins is in net. And that's a great thing to have when it comes to the postseason. But we saw last year that can be unraveled in seven games.
Yeah, no, it's fair to wonder, like Charlie Coyle is having a career year. And so, you know, I think he's better than we think, but, I will give him a ton of credit. He's not that he's replaced Bergeron because he's not going to, you know, he's not up for the Selke, but he's done a really good job in Boston. It's probably got overlooked by a lot of people just how well he has played.
I think that's totally fair. But like, if you were to do the same exercise of ranking the teams in the East with the power rankings that we just did for the West, where would Boston fall for you? For me, it'd be Florida 1, Rangers 2, Canes 3. I think it's a relative toss-up between Boston and Toronto.
Yeah, I'd probably...
And then I'd put Tampa at 5.
Yeah, the reason I would put Boston slightly ahead of Toronto is my one concern about the Leafs is that their big four... doesn't have it. Like obviously Matthews is an elite goal scorer, but so is Pasternak. They don't have like a different dimension, you know, like Nathan MacKinnon is an elite player, but he's a physical killer. If you want, like, you know, he plays angry all the time. Right. When Chicago, like Malkin and Crosby, like Malkin would slash you. Like they don't, you know, they bite back. And sometimes I wonder if Toronto's big guys ever bite back.
Fair question.
All right. There you go. That is a wrap on this week's edition of Buy or Sell, delivered by DoorDash. Dash that for the win with DoorDash.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I will say, I think Toronto's like, they're getting good. They're getting solid goaltending. You know, they did upgrade their defense. Might not be the defense when everybody wanted, but it's still better than what it was at the start of the year. Right. So that's an upgrade. And, you know, like I like some.
How does it compare to the rest of the East?
Yeah, no. Hey, I agree with you. They're not in the top three for sure.
I'd say they're not even in the top four. They're fifth or sixth in terms of defense.
Oh, in terms of defense, yeah. But if you're talking
whole league, I wouldn't pick Toronto's defense over any in the Western Conference playoff race. And that includes Nashville and LA. You're talking like 14th out of 16 playoff teams you'd rank their defense.
Yeah, I might be right. Right.
This is just purely off the top of my head. That's their biggest indictment by a wide margin.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Right. And there's Toronto. There's another team, Frank, that goes to my category early in the year of allowing 3 goals per game. They're at 3.12. It's not a recipe for success. If you're looking at recent trends in the National Hockey League, that is a stat that, you know what? Teams in the regular season above 3 goals against don't. And I know there's been more goals now, so you have to take that into account. But still, it's to me, that's a factor that something that they're really gonna have to focus on. Like if they can become a better defensive team overall down the stretch, that's what's gonna have to happen. Or they're gonna have to try to win some series by outscoring them. Now they do have the firepower there, right? Like they got the best goal scorer in the game, so that's an advantage. No question. But historically, it is harder to score in the playoffs than it is in the regular season. So, you know, can they do it?
Speaking of goals, should we cross Austin Matthews off of the Hart Trophy race?
I never really had him in as much as other people. Like, I think there's...
No, I know, but this question emanates from Toronto. I did Toronto radio this morning and they...
Yeah, of course.
That's basically what they're asking. He's on track for 68 now.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't get to some magical threshold of 70, does that mean that he shouldn't win?
Well, I don't think he was going to win anyway for a few reasons. Number one, as I've outlined before, if you're not even leading your own team in scoring, it's hard to win the Hart, number one. Number two, if you're not in the top six in league scoring, it's never happened. No one in the history of the NHL has won the Hart below sixth. Like, go back, Gordie Howe did it once in the 60s. Bobby Clark, Austin Matthews actually was sixth when he won it. Taylor Hall was sixth, and Mark Messier was sixth in 1992. That's it, right? Like, no one lower. Lots of them. Now, I know people say, well, points don't only matter. Yes, but they matter a lot when
we have a different trophy for scoring goals.
Yeah, and it's most valuable to your team. That's what the wording is. And so if you're not the leading point getter on your own team, and when there's other guys like Kucherov is 40 points ahead of anybody else in his team. And he's got guys who have scored 50 goals and 100 points before, for God's sakes. Like he's having a hell of a year. Nathan MacKinnon is, you know, he could become the fifth player ever to have 50 goals and 90 assists in a season, right? Connor McDavid could become the, you know, fourth guy to get 100 assists in a season. Like other guys are doing things that would be, to me, more about. I think it's a 3-horse race. And I think today, and there's still lots of time left because an injury can change everything at this point, Frank. But right now, today, I think Nathan MacKinnon would be ahead in the horse race.
I would agree.
And not by a lot, right? But down the back stretch, you know, is he maybe, you know, got like a shoulder length lead? Possibly. But like I said, lots can change here. There's still 16, 15 games. That's a pretty big percentage of the season left.
I would agree. Right now, I think I have it McKinnon, Kucherov, McDavid, Panarin, or Hellebuck, Panarin. Something like that.
Yeah. So it'll be, and like Leaf fans shouldn't get that upset about it. Like,
but they do. They listen to this and they say, oh, you guys are Leaf haters. It's like, no, we're just telling you exactly how we see it.
Like, Matthews is the best goal scorer in the game. That's not really up for discussion.
Right.
Right. But that doesn't mean he's the most valuable to his team this year. It's two very different.
Two months of the year when I was in Sweden talking about how William Nylander was the Leafs' most valuable player.
The Leafs. Yeah. 100%. So, right. Like Matthews is now 34 points behind McKinnon. McKinnon's 13 goals behind him. Do the math. So
they said there would be no math.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, your little Seinfeld thing today, that was the best extended skit I've seen you do.
Buddy, Seinfeld, every time, I laugh so hard about that skit. Like, it's unbelievable how Kramer. And you know what's funny is when you're married and you play that to your wife, they laugh. Because they know there's somewhat of a truth to it.
Yeah.
Especially that you wake
up. Anyone who's married or in a long-term relationship understands that there's a.
And I'm sure that the ladies feel the same way. You wake up, he's there.
Yeah, 100%. By the way, I was away last week in the Caribbean. And speaking of Seinfeld, I was trying to explain the marine biologist episode to my wife. And she just... She wasn't having it.
She was angry that day, my friends.
Yeah. She wasn't having it.
Oh my God. Like
we did a little swim with dolphins and I was trying to explain.
Yeah.
Just no good.
Oh. Oh, was that a Titleist? Oh my God. There's so many good lines in that episode too. Hey, before we get to the Wendy's Daily Space Off Survivor, I know you had your delayed flight, Frank. Mm-hmm. So you'll be missing day one of the GM meetings that are going to go on. I don't know if there's anything major. I know that you'd mentioned they're going to discuss LTR, but we should point out to people it's collectively bargained. So you'd have to wait until the next one. Now, remember,
not that far off, by the way, 2026. Yeah.
So there have been, because remember in 06 when they brought it in back then, the original 06 had it under the salary cap that you could put anybody in the minors and they didn't count on your cap. So if you had a $4 million guy like Jack Campbell, for instance, he would count zero against the cap. They obviously changed that in 2011 because they didn't like it. So they've shown they can make significant changes if they want to. And I think if there's enough call for it, right? Like this year, if Mark Stone's not ready to start the year, no one says much. But I do understand why you should prevent it and say, here's some ideas. Let's discuss just what makes it better. So come playoff time, like to me, the easiest thing is make your game day roster 20 man salary cap compliant. It gives you a little bit of leeway, Frank, but it's never going to have a team hiding a big ticket guy there because you wouldn't be able to fit him in because usually your 21st, 22nd, and 23rd guys nowadays are like whatever the league minimum is plus, you know, 100K. That's kind of right. What they are.
I think that's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah.
And then that way no one can cry foul. I think you should, like, the reason it exists is for legitimate injuries like the Stone one that you, like, let's say he's not able to play in the playoffs. They should be able to replace him. Yes. And especially for the regular season, they should have a chance to get in. That's the whole reason LTIR exists.
Yeah. So,
but it could be an easy fix. You can't abuse it. And I still think this is not to relitigate, but the most obvious obfuscation, if I can use that word, would be the Tampa Bay Lightning with Nikita Kucherov. That one was, to me, by far the most egregious.
Well, because he was good. He was probably healthy for 2 or 3 weeks.
No, it's not. It's not that. It's that it was a unique period in time.
Yes.
Where they could game the schedule because they knew it wasn't Like the season ended. I forget. You have to jog my memory. September that year in the bubble.
Well, the playoffs were October, right?
Okay, so the playoffs ended in October. Okay.
Yeah.
He didn't have surgery till Christmas.
Yeah.
What were you doing between October and Christmas?
Waiting to see when they'd announce the season.
Exactly. So that to me was the most egregious and obvious one, because then they went out and spent all of that money. But short of that, I don't think it's really been that big of a problem.
No, I would agree with you.
And that'll never happen again, because, I mean, knock on wood, we never get a global pandemic again. But the schedule shouldn't be that thrown off to the point where you have that kind of opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, that's totally valid. So now other topics for them. What do you like? I know we get a lot of people texting or sorry, tweeting us about 3-on-3 changes. Because hey, I'll be honest, I watched 3-on-3. Now the Edmonton, Colorado one was pretty entertaining, but a lot of them I find there's way too much over and back. They circle out of the zone way too often. I don't know if the league cares enough, Frank. Do you sense there's any appetite for a change there?
No, I think they think it's not broken. Okay. A couple people had brought it up, and of course, Hockey Ops at the NHL keeps close track of it, but I don't think we need a change.
Okay. And so then what else is on tap for this next few days?
There's going to be certainly lots of questions for the Department of Player Safety. There's a number of things that teams are worked up about. Part of it is consistency. And I can tell you this, the Toronto Maple Leafs are still incredibly angry that news of the Morgan Riley suspension came out 20 minutes before they even got a call from the Department of Player Safety. So they want to know who the leak is.
Fair.
And that's certainly been top of mind for them. But there's been lots of teams, I think, to this point this year that are wondering about consistency.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fair question to ask. Why is this one 5 games and this one's 3 games? Why is this one 3 games and that one's 7 games? I think all fair questions to ask. And I think more than that, the biggest thing, and it's another thing that's collectively bargained, is the appeal process. And we've talked about this, is just such a joke.
Yeah.
Why it's, I half the time think that the NHLPA has appealed things just to do it. Because it sends a message.
Yes. Yeah. Well, on the appeal process, come on. That's, I will say this about the appeal process. If I was the NHLPA, I would want a similar appeal process that they have in Major League Baseball. You appeal it and you keep playing until your appeal's heard. Because if you win it, then you know, because right now you appeal, you sit out your games. By the time you get to your hearing, well, you've already missed your 4 games. Well, you're done. Nothing you can do. So that's something I would look at.
Well, how could that work though in the last week of the regular season? You get suspended 3 games and there's 4 games left. What are you going to, they're going to make you serve them next year as if that's going to be half the consequence?
Yeah.
I just don't see it working, but.
Well, MLB has it, right? So it's obviously worked, but they, I don't know, maybe you, I guess it carries over to the next season, right? Or if it's a suspension, Frank.
Carries over into the playoffs.
Now it's up to you if you want to appeal it and then you risk losing it, then you sit out the playoffs.
That could be juicy.
Right. So then it's your choice. But I might bite the bullet and just take this 3-gamer here rather than risk it and take 3 games in the playoffs.
Do you know the David Perron one, the suspension for the cross check to the back of the head?
Yeah.
They appealed it to neutral arbitrator. Do you know that the neutral arbitrator isn't going to hear that case, I think, until June?
Yeah. See, like, what a joke.
And it's all about money at that point.
Yeah.
But it was in the middle of the season and they realized that the games were already served. So no sense flying to New York to meet with a neutral arbitrator when you could just do it in the summer. But it's still probably worth a few hundred thousand dollars.
Oh, yeah. So I get why he's doing it, but it doesn't, like, the money's one aspect. I'm sure it's the games missed that the you don't like. So to me, that's, that would be something I would consider looking at is to change. I think it really benefits the NHLPA and it doesn't hurt the league. All if anything, it just makes you you have to be a little bit more consistent with your rulings, and that and doesn't mean you have to over appeal every everything either, right? But you would skip the dog and pony show of having the commissioner listen to the appeal. Like, that's the biggest joke ever. Just go right to the independent arbitrator and save everybody some time.
Goodbye, me.
Yeah. Frankie, before we go, it's a new week of Wendy's Daily Survivor Pool. Go to dailyfaceoff.com. Do you have your first pick of the week? What is Frank Saravalli going with tonight?
If you want to fade me, I'm going with the Caps to keep their streak alive with a win over Calgary. And that would put them in the playoffs, as you mentioned off the top of the show.
Yeah. Huh. So you're going with the Capitals. See, I think I'm going to go with the Bruins. I mean, the Sabres to score a power play goal.
Okay.
It's leaning towards that. So we'll see. I have to make a choice, but go to dailyfaceoff.com. You can win some free food. Frank is trying to win free food for the first time. So am I, and I'm the worst for just remembering to make my picks. That's the worst thing. God, 3 weeks in a row now. I got the Monday right and then forgot to make my
pick. Come on. Get your head in the game, Gregor.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. So I'm the worst at that. So be better. Any of you, be better. Dailyfaceoff.com for the Wendy's Survivor Pool. You can win all sorts of prizes, including $5,000 for our grand prize winner. Good luck. Have a great week, Frank. Fly safe, and we'll chat with you on Thursday.
Thanks for listening to the DFO Rundown with Saravalli and Gregor. Keep it locked on dailyfaceoff.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.